So this morning, I'm going to talk a little bit about being empowered in Christ, and I'm going to talk a little bit about some of the things that we experienced yesterday. And I think, you know, Dave highlighted one of the things that was on my mind that I hadn't thought of, but I did witness that moment, and I think just speaks to the power of the Spirit in a place to see young kids run to experience and know the words to the song and sing that and then do backflips and cartwheels and, you know, other things. But I think we were so excited about that. We normally would have been like, please don't backflip in here on the hard floor. And we really didn't care. So it was really cool. But over the last several times that I've preached, I've kind of been on this, you know, long drawn out thought process of bridging what I do for work out of the church with the work that I do in the church. And so as a TBRI practitioner, TBRI is rooted in Christianity. It's rooted in faith. It was founded at Texas Christian University, and its original delivery was through a faith-based model that has now been kind of the arm that's taken over that is called Show Hope by Stephen Curtis Chapman and his wife. But it was originally founded with scriptural basis and support for meeting the needs, as scripture calls us, to care for the widows and the orphans. And so orphans, as we've mentioned multiple times, is really, in today's day and age, is kids engaged in the child welfare system, right? Those who are unable to safely live in their own home. And so we talked before about the three rules, right, and the biblical basis for the three rules. So in a smaller crowd this morning, does anybody remember the three rules that we talked about? Stick together. No hurts. I love hand motions over here. And have fun. Yes, Naaman with his really good jazz hands. And then we went on this journey and talked about how the Bible supports those three things. And we talked about the four things you have to do to have secure relationship and the four things that you see us being called into God throughout the pages of Scripture. So pop quiz number two, does anybody remember the four things that you have to do to have secure attachment? You have to give care, receive care, use your words, right, and be autonomous. And so we talked about how throughout the pages of Scripture, God creates the body of Christ, right, and discusses it in the Old Testament, fulfilled in the New Testament. And God, the picture of the church is many parts making up one whole, and we are called to love one another, right? We are called to pray to God and seek and ask and knock, and God will answer. And God is the most beautiful picture of autonomy and the fact that he never changes, right? So he's the same today, yesterday, and today. Today, yesterday, tomorrow. Anyway, whatever I have to say to make that make sense to you. And so when we think about the work that I do with families, we always start with the importance of connection. And that's really all of those things, right? How do we connect? The fact that God draws us in to connect with him, right? And so building upon all of those things. The second thing that we teach families is how do you empower your kids, right, to meet their physical, spiritual, emotional needs. And that's what I want to focus on today. And so we were out to dinner one time, and I don't remember exactly what the occasion was, but we found ourselves at Mi Pueblo here in Venice. And we had all the kids there, and so that's always fun when you try to take lots of kids out to eat. And so young Maisie was there, Hannah's youngest, and she was at the age, and this was a little while ago, she was at the age where, you know, it's like I call it the grabby hands phase, right? They grab everything. And so first they grab, then they stick that in their mouth. And so we were having this lighthearted discussion around the table, and I was like, you know, kids put things in their mouth because that's how they learn textures, that's how they learn shapes, that's how they learn, you know, what is good for food, what is good for regulation, what is disgusting, right? Well, they really don't learn the disgusting part because they put gross stuff in their mouth all the time. But it was this conversation. And so that was like on a Friday or a Saturday. And then pastor sends me an email with his sermon stuff. And he said, man, you're going to get some mileage out of this. Here's the scripture that talks about, you know, what we were having at the table. And so Psalms 34, verse 8 first, and then we'll go back and look at some of the preceding verses. But in the Message paraphrase, it says, open your mouth and taste, open your eyes and see how good God is. Blessed are you who run to him. And let us pause just for a moment in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this moment. And God, I know that there have been many things to distract us, to prevent us from being here this morning. And so, God, one, we're grateful for those that are here in person and that you provided safe travel for them to be here. God, we're also grateful for the online component that we have that still allows us to be connected in the midst of things that may make it difficult to be here. And so, God, we know that nothing stands in the way of your word. And so we ask that we would hear from you this morning. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And so we wanted to talk a little bit about how we empower families that I work with, and then how, you know, what is the parallel in Scripture and what that looks like for us. And so the first way that we teach families to empower their kids is through food, right? Basic necessity. Verse 8 says, open your mouth and taste. Food is a necessity, right? Nobody can survive without food. And there's all kinds of studies and scientific research that will tell you how long you could survive. But at the end of all of that is, if you don't have food, you will eventually succumb to starvation. And so your brain activity, your brain's ability to function is directly tied to the level of glucose that you have in your system. So if you have the right amount of glucose in your system, the right amount of nutrition coming into you, your brain can develop and operate normally. If you have low blood glucose, then you don't have the amount of energy that your brain needs to operate. And so you can have increased anxiety. You can have difficulty in regulating your mood. You might get angry. Right, you might have difficulty concentrating, or you might see some little bit of memory fluctuation, or you become hangry. Right, everybody in this room has been hangry at one point. You have yelled at the person in front of you in the drive-thru because they're taking too long because you're hungry. You have, you know, wanted to push people down. Right, you have, you know, tripped people to get to your snacks. Right, we've all done things before when we are hangry that we are probably not proud of. And throughout the pages of Scripture, we see that God not only does he provide for our spiritual needs, but there's all these beautiful stories of how God provided for the physical needs in feeding as well. And so you see, and Pastor mentioned this in one of his previous sermons in the series that he's been going through, we talk about manna in the wilderness, right? And so God's people needed food, and God provided food for them. You see that in the feeding of the 5,000 and 3,000, right? The multitudes had gathered, and they were hungry, they were ill-prepared, but God provided for them. And so we know, because of these stories, we know throughout pages of Scripture the importance that God has in meeting our physical needs. And the same is true for our spiritual brain. We cannot survive without daily input. And all of these stories, the story is centered around God meeting the physical need, but it really goes beyond that. And you see that in Matthew 4, in Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 4 says, then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. After fasting for 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. The tempter came to him and said, if you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread. Jesus answered, it is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on the very word that comes from the mouth of God. And so when you look at all of these stories, when you look at the manna in the wilderness, when you look at Jesus feeding the 5,000 and 3,000, You see that it isn't just the bread that was provided, but the bread only came to feed all those people because the word of God preceded it. And so God's word came and the manna followed, right? Jesus prayed over the bread and the multiplication followed, right? And so it isn't just bread alone that we need, but it's the daily reassurance of God's word over our lives that makes that multiply and does something for us. One of the reasons that we use food to build trust with caregivers is so many of the kids that we work with had early life disruptions. And so what do you do for a newborn? A newborn is fully reliant on you for every single feeding, for every single change of clothes. And they actually build trust in the first year of life through that repetitive process, and they learn, right, that if I'm hungry and I cry, someone will come and meet my need. And so one of the ways that we work with kids is we actually go back and recreate that process. We go back and we do activities of feeding where we feed each other. So we physically feed one another. Or for some of our teens that may not be super excited about having somebody feed them, we might do family-style dinner where somebody else serves their plate. And so we're practicing those traits that I talked about a few weeks ago in giving and receiving care. And so yesterday when we had our back to school bash, we had a nurture group relay, and that was a part of it. We practiced all of those four traits for every single family that came. We incentivized it by giving them a gift card if they did it. But we had them go through all those things. We practiced giving and receiving care. We gave Band-Aids for hurts that we might have. We fed each other gummies because we want to go back and recreate what was missing, and God calls us to do the same. God continually goes and bridges the gap between physical needs and spiritual needs through the process of feeding his children. We see in 1 Peter 2:2 says, like newborn babies that crave spiritual milk so that by it you may grow up in your salvation. So we always start with that initial craving, but it has to go beyond that. We get that daily feeding in the beginning, right? We all remember when we first got introduced to Jesus and we were so hungry that we jumped in our Bible, we listened to the music, we sang the songs, we did all those things. We were excited by that new thing. But then that quickly fades as we learn to build trust with God that he can provide our daily bread. So the first way that we are empowered is through our daily bread, through the actual word of God. And as God's word proceeds, it is multiplied within us to provide for the next day. So my prayer is, God, would you meet my needs today? My prayer is, God, not tomorrow. Tomorrow will take care of itself, but God, would you meet my needs today? My kids get excited all the time about things that are far off into the future. Cassandra right now is like, I can't wait to be a mom. Lady, you are 9, relax. And so we tell her, it's like, there are things to worry about today. That will take care of itself. Let's focus and worry about today. And so would our prayer become that we allow God to empower us through just asking for today's manna? I just want the daily bread. What will get me through today? So the first is we're empowered through the daily bread. The second is we are empowered through drinking. Just like food, we talk about the importance of blood glucose. We also talk about the importance of hydration. And so at the moment that you feel thirsty, you are already 30% dehydrated. So for the kids that we work with, trauma impacts your brain's development. It slows it down. And so when we work with kids that are already not drinking, right, and so now they're dehydrated, so it's slowing down their brain already, well, there's already things that are happening that make this a challenging mix. And so we encourage families to drink often and make sure their kids every 2 hours are drinking and having water to stay hydrated. And so obviously, if you look at the pages of Scripture, you see the impact of water throughout the entire Bible. One of the ways is baptism. We baptize in water so that the old is gone, and as we lift out, the new is raised. Occasionally, we let you slip and you fall back in a second time, but that's just the Holy Spirit at work, I think. Maybe sometimes people need a little extra dunking. You see Jesus multiple times healing at healing pools throughout the Bible, showing that it isn't earthly water, rather, that heals, but living water that is only found in Christ. And you see at length Jesus talk in John 4 to the woman at the well about living water versus temporary water. You see, living water is eternal. The water here on earth leads to death. You can drink and drink and drink and drink and drink, but it only leads to one place, a temporary sustenance that requires you to go back to it. Living water, though, leads to eternal life. You see, Christ came and drank the wrath of God so that we may be filled and live in grace. And living water is only found in Christ. And so not only do we need to pray, God, would you provide my daily bread? Would you provide my ability to be empowered for today in your word? But we ask God to enter into our life. We accept the fact that God died on this cross, that he sent his son for us so that we could have the only water that would carry us through this life. So we encourage families to eat regularly. We encourage families to drink often, and that is what Scripture calls us and God calls us to do as well. And the third thing is that we encourage families to be active and to move. So every 2 hours we should be having a snack, every 2 hours we should be having a drink, every 2 hours we should be moving and having some sensory input. Movement allows us to regulate and aids in our sensory system's development. Scripture calls us to go, therefore, which means to move. As we move, we get to show up and to be the hands and feet of Jesus. So where does that strength come from? Where does that ability to get up and move and go come from? Acts 1 through 8 says, but when you receive the power of the Holy Spirit, when the Holy Spirit comes on you, you will receive the power. So it's as we become Spirit-filled, as we live a Spirit-filled life, the byproduct of living a Spirit-filled life is being able to go and be the hands and feet. The beautiful thing about God sending us is God isn't sending us to somewhere that he's not already been before. Psalms 48:10 says, your name, O God, like your praises, reaches to the ends of the earth. And where are we called to go? Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And so God is preceding us in our going. And so as the church is called, as we're empowered by getting our daily manna for God, as we are empowered by accepting the living water that Christ offers to us, it is the byproduct then for us to allow the Holy Spirit to lead us out and to be the hands and feet of Jesus. And so I wanted to talk a little bit about some things that happened yesterday that are only byproducts of first being empowered by Christ. And so yesterday we held our third back-to-school bash. And we empowered families with food, we empowered families with water, and we had plenty of opportunities, too, to empower them with their daily bread as well. And things happened yesterday that only happen because people are attuned to the Holy Spirit, because they get their daily bread, because they've accepted that the living water comes from Christ. And so we had a number of people, and I can't name you all by name, because if I do, I'll forget someone, and then that person will feel a certain way. And so I'm just globally going to say, for every single person that came yesterday that belongs to this body of Christ, we could not have done yesterday without you. For those of you that prayed that the rain would stop or not come until we were done cleaning up, that's pretty much exactly what happened. The morning started with rain at 11, and I said two prayers. One, I prayed for my mother's foot, and I said, please let her foot go, because if her foot hurts, she's going to do everything she was going to do anyway, and then be miserable for like a week. So that was prayer number one. Prayer number two was, God, I know you can do it, and I know you can stop the rain, and whether it rains or not, I'll still thank you for the opportunity, but I know you can stop the rain, and the rain didn't come. So we were able to set up the tables and chairs, and the kids did get wet, but only because there was a hose hooked up to the bounce house, which they actually played in the mud puddle that the bounce house created more than they played in the bounce house, but that's the whole buy them the dollhouse, they play with the box thing. So the first thing is you showed up to be. A number of families told me throughout the day how nice and respectful and lovely the church people were to sit and greet them, to be genuinely excited to see their kids, to encourage them to participate and to have fun. So thank you for doing that. Sandra texted me yesterday morning and said that she had read an article, and she said she felt moved by the Spirit to offer Bibles to kids. And I'll be the first person to tell you that foster parents are not really super excited about giving out their information to other people. But I told Sandra that I loved her heart and I wanted her to do it, and let's do a sign-up sheet. And you wouldn't believe, but pretty much every family that she asked, do you have a Bible? The ones that said yes, we let them go. The ones that said no filled out her card. And Sandra's going to be mailing 10 Bibles to families across our community so that they can begin to receive their daily bread. So we empowered them through the word. We empowered them through the nurture group relay that we did. We empowered them by giving them a gas and grocery gift card to meet their physical needs. And so it was a wonderful time, and as Pastor Dave mentioned, we had music playing and kids dancing and kids laughing and smiling faces and families that you know, have a lot of kids that don't have a place where their kids can just live out loud and be. And there was no shame, no judgment, no, you know, how dare you let your kids do that. Everybody just let the kids be kids, and it was such a wonderful time. And without all of those things, without the setup, without the cleaning, without the food, the people don't have a place to come. And so because we did all those things, we were able to experience a pretty cool story. And I want to share that kind of as we wrap up and as we close this morning. There was a mom that came yesterday, and I don't know her name, and I don't know the little boy's name. But she came in, and we had vendors set up in here, and one of the vendors that came is the organization that we work with that helps sponsor and put together Care Portal for us in our area. And so they were set up over here. And so I got an email 2 days ago and said, we had a very random donation come and we have like 60 bedding sets. Can I come and hand out pillows and bed sets? And I said, sure, why not? More the merrier, right? And so she came. It wasn't anything that was advertised to families. No family that was coming knew that was going to happen. We didn't. It just happened too late to really tell people. And so we had this mom come in, and you know, fostering is the best way to describe it is it's just sitting in the mess all the time. That's just what it is. And so we don't know what had happened before, but she comes in, she gets to the door, and she can see the bedding, and she begins to cry. And so she's making her way down, and the lady from Bridge of Life that was talking to her, you know, was checking on her, are you okay? And she said, I had just left Walmart, and he needs new bedding, but I had to make a choice, and I wasn't able to get it for him today, and I see that you're giving bedding out, and he needs it. And so it was just a beautiful way of meeting those needs, right? And without all those other things happening, that doesn't happen. Right? And so not only was she able to come and get her physical need met, but her emotional and spiritual needs were met as well. And so the little boy is over here, and there's 60 different bed sets, and he's looking through the pillows, and he goes to the one, and he picks something up, and he says, look. And it's the exact one that he had picked out at Walmart that she had to tell him no and put back. And if you want to know what it looks like to be the hands and the feet of Jesus, it's sitting in the mess and it's meeting the needs that people have. Nobody can plan that outside of God. Nobody can plan that outside of the Holy Spirit being active and moving. The smiling faces, the dancing, the singing the praises of God. It's the Holy Spirit that takes over, and we just have to say, Lord, I'm willing. Give me what I need for today to get me through today. And that only happens when the church moves. And so I'll leave you with the beginning of Psalms 34. And so if you go back up to verse 4, you'll remember these words because we've sung it often here. It says, I sought the Lord, and he heard, and he answered, and he delivered me from all of my fears. Those who look to him are radiant. Their faces are never covered with shame. This poor man called, and the Lord heard him, and he saved him out of all of his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him, and he delivers them. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in him. You see, church, if we continue to ask God to empower us daily through our daily bread, if we accept the fact that only Christ offers living water for our souls, and if we allow the Holy Spirit to empower us to move, God can do amazing and incredible things. And this is just the beginning. There are still several tremendous opportunities we have through Care Portal and other ways to meet needs in the community, through giving meals and other things to empower and encourage families, to let them see that God sees them in the midst of the mess in the midst of the struggle. And so the band is going to come, and we're going to sing that song that we sang last week. And that beginning line, I sought the Lord, and he heard and he answered. And so I don't know where you are today, and I know the weather is a distraction, and you know, there's so many things going on that want to move us away from the moments that the Holy Spirit has for us. But wherever you are today, would that resonate with you, that if you truly want to seek the Lord, he will hear you and he will answer your prayers.